Welcome to episode 256 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes your mom to update you about everything that's happening in the lives of people you haven't seen since you were a kid. What? Yeah, I totally remember Shirley and Larry. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're traveling back in time. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Cozy Stickerville, Unlock Short Adventures, and Builders of Baldur's Gate. Then, we reminisce about some of the board games we played when we were kids. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal. One quick announcement before we hop into the main episode, and that is that a couple days from right now, if you are listening to this episode when it drops, we will be part of the very final streaming marathon for the Tabletop Live Network. Y'all have heard us talk about this over the years. Tabletop Live Network is going to be disbanding, as it were. Nothing bad, just it's, you know, time for it to come to a close. And so while we have been so grateful to be part of a wonderful group of streamers over the past few years, we are ready to see it go out with a bang with a really fun 27-hour nonstop board game streaming marathon this weekend, March 7th and 8th. Our part of the stream will be on Saturday, March 7th at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to come support us on twitch.tv/boardgameblitz this coming Saturday and watch us stream with TLN for the final time, that would be awesome.
So a couple of episodes, I talked about Cozy Stickerville and I played it again. So Cozy Stickerville is a game published in 2026 by Unexpected Games, designed by Corey Kaniska. My friend works for a publisher that's under Asmodee, and like I think Unexpected Games is also under Asmodee, so she got Cozy Stickerville, and I played it with her. I already talked about Cozy Stickerville in episode 252, so you can go back in that and listen to my first thoughts after I played the game through one time. So this is a campaign game, and it's basically Cozy Stickerville, like the title is true. But I mentioned that there's...
they did not falsely name the game.
Yeah. But like you're placing stickers on a board, so it's kind of like a legacy game. There's 10 years in the game. And so I played through one campaign and then we played again the second campaign because it's a double-sided board and you can play two times for one box. But I had mentioned that like there's cards where you make choices and it's like, okay, you can build a house and you can choose one of two people to move in. And so like if you play the first time, you choose people A, then like they get covered up for the second year. So you don't really have that choice anymore. So I remember you mentioning like then you don't have any choices the second year. But you still do get some choices because those aren't the only choices, although like there are a lot of choices that get covered up, but you didn't actually, like we didn't get to build everything. And then also there are some things that they have two stickers of each thing that is possible, so you get to choose either time. But like a lot of times we wanted to choose the other one because we want to see what happens, right? So, and right. Like each person that moves in has their own little story, so you're kind of like wanting to go through the story of the people, because when you place people down, you have a story that you're reading in a storybook and then you kind of like keep progressing. So like I still enjoyed it. There were different stories this time and different mechanics too. Like most of the mechanics is mainly just you pick an action, you do it, and you're like reading passages. But within some of the actions, there's like cards that's like, oh, do this and then you can get this and unlock this. Like I don't want to spoil it. So, but like there were different things in this playthrough than in the other playthrough. So there were still like some surprises and stuff, which was neat. And I really enjoy Cozy Stickerville. It's like not something I would have liked, or maybe I would have. Because I think the thing that it most reminds me of is Tales of the Arabian Nights, because that was also like a casual story-driven game, but that was competitive and could get like frustrating.
When is the new version of that coming? Is that already out?
I have no idea.
I know there that there's like, a new version of it.
There was like an Arthurian
one,
I think, and then I don't know.
I think Arabian Nights.
Yeah, and then I think there's another Arabian Nights. Yeah, I don't know.
Getting rethemed or republished or reprinted, something.
Yeah.
And people listening to this right now are screaming like, it's this, but they can't tell us. So we don't know still.
Yeah, but like, I remember that had problems with like, like sometimes you would just get stuck, like you can't do something if you have a certain condition, then like you're stuck doing this bad thing. So with Cozy to Stickerville, there's more choices. It's more like you just pick something, see what happens, and unlock things. It's lots of stickering, getting stickers. So there's this sticker book. Now I can show the sticker book. My friend gave me the sticker books so that my kids could play with the stickers, because there's leftover stickers. After two playthroughs, we've used a lot of the stickers, but there's still a lot left. But like there's 12 pages of stickers. I'm just flipping through on YouTube. Here, this page, we've used a lot of the stickers. Basically, you place them on the board. But there's still some left. My kids are going to play with them. I'm actually, my friend is going to give me another copy of the game so I can play it with my kids.
So I could ask, do you like this game? But I'd say the answer is pretty obvious.
Yeah, this is like, it doesn't seem like something that I would usually recommend. Like, it's weird that I like it, I think. But I think also it's more like a cooperative, like just reading. It's very cozy. It's more of like a just hanging out with your friends and reading and making a story together kind of, or like reading a story together, very casual. And so it's not like, if you want to have like a, you know, heavy game, putting your wits against anything, like each other or the game, like then this is not, Cozy Stickerville is not like that type of game. It's like if you want to relax and just have a nice time playing a game and chatting and that type of game. So,
I mean, in this economy, I'd say we could all use an experience like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm excited to play it with my kids, because I'll just read all the stories to them. Like when you play with other people who can read, you're reading to the person to your left when it's their turn. But I'm just going to read all of it then. And then they make decisions, and they like stickers a lot. So everything you do is basically placing a sticker. And that's a lot of fun too. I mean, I like that a lot.
So now we've talked about your kids, though, in the past wanting to do like all of the things kind of right away. So do you think they will struggle at all with like they have to wait to do some of the stuff? Like, are they going to want to just keep stickering things, do you think?
I think they might be able to, like, they'll know that the rules of the game like need to be followed, I think. I think they'll be fine with that, hopefully. And also, I mean, we have this other one with more stickers in case they want to just sticker randomly other things.
That's true.
So, yeah, they can do that.
I'm going to be playing Cozy Stickerville at Dice Tower West. So, yeah, so I will get to try it soon. Yeah. Oh, based on how you've described it, I'd be shocked if I didn't like it.
And then speaking of playing games with my kids, I also wanted to mention that I've been playing a lot of Unlock Short Adventures. Unlock is an escape room series. We've talked about it before, but it's a deck of cards and then an app that you use on your phone to do escape rooms with different stories and stuff. And you're combining cards by adding up numbers and finding the card with that number. But they're all different. And they have a new series, or I guess it's like not new now. It's been like 5 years. But they have short adventures, Unlock Short Adventures. And usually the unlocks are like 60 minutes long. There's a timer. But the short adventures are 30 minutes long. And they're like half the size. But they're still similar mechanically. So I've been playing the short adventures with my kids, actually, because they really like escape room games. And I've been looking for ones to play with them. And the short adventures are good because they're short. Like, I don't always have an hour to play with my kids. Like, I did try playing an exit with them. But we had to split that up into two sessions because, like, I had to go do dinner or whatever. So with Unlock, because of the app, like you have to do it all in one sitting. So like I'm not sure if I'll play a full Unlock with them anytime soon. It would have to be a weekend. But with the short ones, I can play it on a weeknight. It's just 30 minutes, and that's a lot easier to fit in than an hour. So yeah, I've been enjoying the Unlock Short Adventures. These also, my friend has been getting them, and I'm borrowing them from her. So I'm getting them for free. I don't actually know how much they cost. So, but I mean, I love escape rooms, so like I buy them all anyway, probably.
Well, I'm glad to hear you are enjoying them. Well, after my friends and I finished up Clank Legacy, the day that we finished it, we still had some time, and so we decided to break out a non-Clank Legacy game for the first time in many weeks, because that was pretty much, I know, that's all we had been playing. Although my husband did ask if Greg brought Clank Legacy 2, so we could just dive right into it. So if that's not a ringing endorsement for Clank Legacy 1, I don't know what is. Is that literally my husband was like, okay, when are we starting Clank Legacy 2? So, but yes, the game that hit the table that was not Clank Legacy was the Dungeons and Dragons Builders of Baldur's Gate board game from WizKids, designed by Matthew Dunstan. I will admit, I hadn't heard about this one. It was published in 2025, so just last year. WizKids is not a publisher that I actively follow strongly. Like, it's not that I dislike their stuff, but I just, you know, that's not a publisher that tends to make stuff that I'm really into. But I do like the Dungeons & Dragons world, and I played, like many people, the Baldur's Gate 3 video game. So when I saw, I was like, oh, it's a Baldur's Gate board game, like, I was like, I'll know some of those references because I just did that video game a couple years ago because I haven't played it in a D&D campaign in many years now. So Builders of Baldur's Gate is essentially a worker placement slash engine building slash area control-ish game where the map is divided up into a number of sections. Those sections are both, they are color-coded and I think numerically they're numbered as well. And everybody starts off on their own section of the board. And then when it is your turn, you can do one of three different things. And those three actions you can take are actually like very different from one another, which makes the decision making really interesting. So you can either build a building, assuming you have the resources to pay for it. You can send a worker out onto the board into one of the available worker spots, or to any of the worker spots, because you can kick somebody off of one if they're already on there. Or you can collect income. When you're building buildings out of your hand, you pay the resources and then those buildings go in front of you in a line. And then those buildings essentially become your engine. And when you do the collect income action, your engine you've built with those buildings is what you're collecting from. And so you're collecting a bunch of different types of resources. You're sometimes exchanging one thing for another, and you get to trigger the buildings kind of however you want. So it's pure engine building in that regard. Like, you want to build up so you can get more stuff to get other things to do other things. And you get those resources sometimes originally by sending a worker out onto the board, but you only have a single worker. That's it. You have one pawn that you can send out. And the only way to get that pawn back is by doing a specific action during the collect income step of another turn, or to have somebody else bump you out of that spot, or there might be other special abilities that will let you pull it back. But it's not one of those games where you have a lot of workers to go out and do lots of different things. Eventually, you'll be constructing buildings with influence cubes on them on the board to protect buildings that you've built and the areas of the board, because these tiles get drawn out of a bag that correspond to all the different areas of the board. And once a certain number of tiles for a specific area have been drawn, that area gets attacked. And if there isn't enough defense in that area, buildings will get destroyed. All of that sounds kind of thematic, but this game has no theme. Like, for the record, it is a perfectly fine board game. There is nothing Dungeons & Dragons about it, like, at all. There is some artwork, and there's some names and places. This game felt the least like Dungeons & Dragons anything I think I've ever played. No, like, that's probably a little bit, like, of an exaggeration. But it was a bummer, because if you're going to get a license like this that is so well-trodden and people love, what's the point of putting it on a game like this? Like, I just, in this day and age, you're taking a gamery popular theme and putting it into a board game where gamers will know the things. Why? Like, I honestly, I'm very frustrated by how it is not thematic at all. There's, like, I could keep describing the game to you, but, like, it's a very fine worker placement, engine building, area control-ish. There was nothing about this game that made me be like, ooh, that's neat, or ooh, that's novel. Like, all of it was just, okay. And I would maybe play it again if someone really wanted to, but I, especially because of the theme, like, they chose it, and it disappointed me because it wasn't there. It was not present at all, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, it really wasn't a bad game. I enjoyed playing it. I think if you're a person who likes the types of games that I listed, it's not necessarily not worth seeking out, but, like, go in knowing that if you're a fan of Dungeons & Dragons, it ain't that. Like, it's not. It just isn't. So, that is the Dungeons & Dragons Builders of Baldur's Gate board game. Ambi, I would say there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that is kind of stressful. So this week, we're not going to have a deep, thoughtful conversation about, you know, geopolitical whatevers in board gaming. We're just going to talk about some of our favorite board game memories from childhood, which we've discussed on and off, you know, a few times over a variety of episodes, but I don't think we've ever just done that. And hopefully we'll be able to give everybody a few laughs or some warm fuzzies with some of our stories from when we were little.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to remember specific stories for me, but maybe as we're talking, I'll like think of some. But we played a lot of board games as a kid. I think we had the game night every Friday. Maybe it was another day, or maybe it was more. I don't remember. But and we had a game closet.
Oh, we definitely had a game closet. I think I remember all of my friends in the 90s had like a game closet or a closet that had shelves that were specifically for board games.
Yeah, we had a lot. And then we moved to our we moved a bit. But like, I remember when we moved in middle school, we moved to like the house that my parents are in now. Then like we had more closets in the hallway. And so like our games could expand to two closets or something. Because before it was in like a little door closet thing. But then we ran out of space. It's like, yeah, now it's more, it sounds familiar.
Board game problems.
Yeah.
We started early.
Yeah. So my parents are also would play board games a lot. And card games, too. I remember we played a lot of card games, like a lot of trick-taking games, hearts and spades. We would play rummy-type games, gin rummy. We had that. There's a book by Hoyle. I don't remember. It's like a book that has a lot of rules of card games.
It's probably Hoyle, then.
Is it Hoyle?
Yeah, that's a publisher of playing cards.
Yeah. So my parents still have that. Yeah. Hoyle's official book of games or something. I think my parents have like three different ones. I don't know. Because last time I went and visited, I saw it. But yeah, so my dad would flip through and find a game and then read the rules and then we'd play it. So like we played a lot of different card games. We also played poker, not for like actual money. We just played with chips. But I think that was probably good for like teaching us math because I know my brother-in-law does that with his kids. Like he taught him blackjack when he was little, just like the rules, not actual money. I don't think. Not gambling with your kids.
As somebody who was briefly a blackjack dealer after college, I can say that you learn to count to 21 very quickly. And you're like, but how quickly? Like instantaneously. Like the card comes out, you know exactly where the count is. And it just, yeah, it makes you learn very quickly how to count to 21. We also played a lot of card games growing up. I know we had a wizard deck, which I tried playing wizard at one point as an adult, and oof, I did not enjoy it as much. It was not good.
It's long.
Yeah.
I only played it as an adult, and it felt long to me.
We also played a game that we called Speed, but I think it's one of those card games that like goes by a bunch of different names. It's where it's two players with a deck of cards, and you're facing each other, and there's multiple piles of cards in the middle, and then two places to play cards, and then two stacks of cards that you have to draw from.
And you're going like one above or one below?
Yeah.
I call that Speed too.
Okay. I know that there's like certain games that depending on where you grew up, like the name might be different, but
I loved
we played
Speed.
A lot of that.
I had forgotten about that. that's a real-time game because you're just playing whenever you can.
And man, that moment where you get stuck and then it gets unlocked and you're like, bam, 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 card. It's like so satisfying. But yeah, we played Rummy Cube with my grandparents. Mm. My sister still owns my grandparents' Rummy Cube set in the handmade box that my grandpa made, and I'm still not jealous about it, I swear. But my grandparents had like a few different board games at their house. They owned a board game from the 1970s called 10-4 Good Buddy, which was about CB radio truckers, and like you're trying to avoid the cops, but you have to use CB like slang while you're playing the game. And my sister and I were just like, we just thought it was the funniest thing to be like, 10-4, good buddy, breaker 1-9, like the whole time. Like and like some of the slang terms are things that you definitely would not even like that's like, I'm making this up, but it would be like, you know, slap the cheese on the sausage train or whatever. Like, and it'd be like, what does that even mean? I made, like, it's just ridiculous. The game itself was not like amazing, but it was pretty fun, and it had like a little helicopter with a propeller on it, the top of it, that spun, which we thought was cute too.
Yeah, I don't remember if my grandparents had any games. I mean, like, my mom's grandma, or my mom's mom, my mom's parents had Mahjong, but I don't think I ever played it with them until I was older. And then I remember my dad's parents had chess, but I played chess with my grandpa once, but, like, he took so long, and I was, like, I got so bored.
It's funny, my other grandparents, I don't remember many board games at their house, but I do know they had Clue, and so we would play Clue with my cousins when we were there. Like, we never owned Clue at our house because it was just me and my sister, and Clue two player is just not much fun, so we never owned it.
We had,
but I did like Clue growing up.
Yeah, I liked Clue a lot, and, like, we had Clue and would play it. And then I think when I was in high school, like, once my brother went off to college, I played Clue with my parents, like, a lot. That was, like, our go-to game, I think. My parents had, like, their own note-taking system. We would have a separate paper where we took notes instead of, like, the paper they give us, because we would write down, like, who asked for what and then figure stuff out from that.
It's funny, I actually thought about us doing this as today's episode topic because I was scrolling through Facebook recently and some random Facebook page had shared some images of a board game from 1987. It's the Parker Brothers board game Pizza Party. It's technically like a memory style game, but, like, the board looks like a pizza and the pizza has these, like, holes in it where you can put the topping tiles. And I think those get flipped over. And so you have to remember which toppings are where, and you're trying to get, like, the right toppings on your part of the pizza. I never owned it, but my best friend, my childhood best friend, did. And so when I saw this post on Facebook, I sent her a message, a private message on Facebook. And I said, I remember playing this at your house when we were little. And she responded immediately with, like, yes, in all capital letters, lots of exclamation points. And she said, funny story, I actually have this at my house now. When mom and dad were cleaning out old stuff, they let us go through it all. And I totally snagged this one. And that, like, it made me happy because I can remember sitting in her living room. I can remember, like, us, like, ordering pizza, like, with her family, probably on a Friday night, and playing the Pizza Party game and drinking Pepsi. I don't know why it was always Pepsi at their house, but, like, if we got soda, they always were a Pepsi house, not a Coke house. And I don't know why I remember that, but it was somehow, like, they always had Pepsi. Yeah. I mean, she was my best friend from, like, literally the time I was born until late middle school. And the only reason we kind of drifted away at that point is because she was a year older than me. And so once she went to high school, you know, it got more complicated. But she and I, to this day, still, like, you know, message each other occasionally. And whenever I'm in town, we see each other. And yeah, it's just nice to have lovely board game memories with friends from that long ago that they still remember them fondly, too.
I don't know if I have any board game memories with friends because I mostly played with my family, I think. And, like, when I went to my friend's house, we would play, like, video games or with their toys or stuff. I don't know if other people had that many board games. And then I can't remember, like, people coming to our house and playing board games either when I was, like, young.
I feel like I always wanted to play games of some kind, and it didn't have to be a board or video game. Like,
we would play, like, make believe a lot. Yeah, so I feel like I remember playing Make Believe a lot with my friends, but I don't remember playing, like, board games as much with my friends.
Did you have, like, a go-to, like, a favorite Make Believe game that you all, like, would do a lot?
I'm not sure. I mean, when I was by myself, I would be teacher for my stuffed animals.
I love that. That's so cute.
I remember, like, in second grade or something, I would play make-believe Mortal Kombat with my friend. Because I played Mortal Kombat, like, the video game. But I remember, like, in recess, we would, like, jump on the, like, we would say that, like, the ground, I was Sub-Zero and he was Scorpion or something, and the ground was lava, or, like, so, like, he could go on the hot ground and I could go on the cold ground, and so, like, the roots of the trees would be ice, or, like, the stuff, the benches and roofs, like, kind of like the floor is lava, but, like, it would be ice would be the other stuff, and then he could be on the floor part, and then we would say switch, and and then it would switch, so the floor would become ice, and then the upper stuff would become lava, and so we would have to jump.
Basically invented Super Smash Bros before it existed.
No, but we were, like, we weren't fighting each other, we were just, like, walking around, I think. And so it was only Mortal Kombat because we were those characters.
I mean, I'm pretty sure to call it Mortal Kombat, there needs to be combat. And there might be, okay, there's mortals involved, but there, somebody's got to combat something. Oh my gosh. Our make-believe games were always like themed around like very real world type stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's pretty standard. One of them that we played, and this would have been with the same friend of mine and then my sister and my friend's sister, the four of us were like a little foursome. We did everything together. One of the games we would play was called Puppies. And Kristen, my friend, who was the oldest of the four of us, would play the owner, like the one that we wanted to adopt a puppy. And then the rest of us would get locked away in a small section of the house with like a gate or something blocking. And we would all be the puppies who wanted to get adopted. And Kristen had to choose which one of us she was going to adopt. And like, that's brutal. Like, what? She has to choose either her best friend, her little sister, or her best friend's little sister. Like, that's no choice. But we love that game. We played Puppies all the time. And I don't quite know. And I think Kristen was always the owner. Like, I don't know if we ever switched.
But yeah, I think I played a lot with my brother. But he would do stuff and I would like follow and watch him do stuff, or like, yeah. But then with board games, I remember playing, like, I would play some two-player games with him when it wasn't family game night. So we would play like family games with family, and then like two-player games with my brother. I would play, like, I remember playing Stratego, Battleship, classics like that. But then I remember there's a game called Mind Maze, which I may have talked about on the podcast before, but it's a two-player game. And it has like a red board that's vertical, kind of like Battleship, where it's vertical and you can't see the other side. But you're making a maze for the other player and they can't see it. And then there you have this magnet that they're moving a ball around. So the ball is on your side and they're moving a ball, trying to get it through the maze. And then like it falls off when they hit a wall. And so they kind of have to remember. So it's like a memory maze thing. And then they build a maze for you as well. So it's at the same time.
Really, I think whoever, I think I would have liked it.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to, it's a race too. Like, because there's two boards. It's not a square. It's a big rectangle with two squares on it. So you're simultaneously building the maze and then doing the maze. And he would always win, I think. Because, I mean, her brother was 2.5 years older than me. So he would always win everything. It's like, that's a big age difference when you're like 6 and he's 8, 9.
Yeah, that, that does make a big difference, for sure. My sister and I were only 17 months apart, so like a year and a half. So it was a little, like, we were pretty similarly matched. Although I know that I, as the older sister, probably always thought I was better because, you know, it's the oldest child syndrome, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of a lot of different games from my childhood. You know, some of the classics and some of the weird ones too. But I would actually really love to hear from our listeners. What games do you have fond memories of playing when you were a kid? What board games were the ones on in your closet of board games, if you grew up in like the 80s and 90s like we did, because you know you had a board game closet probably. Let us know on social media or in the Board Game Blitz Discord. Oh, and shout out to all the new people who joined the Blitz Discord after I mentioned it earlier in the episode last time. Apparently that worked. So if you haven't joined the Discord yet, come join us.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. There's still time to get your copy of Vampire Survivors the Board Game through the Pledge Manager on GameFound. Don't miss your chance to get this unique bullet hell board game. And don't forget that Blitzketeers always get 10% off everything, including exclusives, at grayfoxgames.com when you use the code BLITZ2026 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider, or by getting some official Blitz swag at merch.boardgameblitz.com. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, and I'm here to remind you of the points you lost when you played that way. Bye, everyone!
Bye! Is the very final tabletop event. Wait, tabletop live? I can't remember the name. Well, that's a good sign that it should be ending if I can't even remember what it's called. Oh, God, I'm old. Okay, I'm just going to start over.
Okay.
Oh.